Today on Real Radio.
Internal struggles, one of the greatest things is how we become accustomed to fear and worry. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series that takes a look at the first six verses of chapter 10. It's one of the times where Paul uses military analogies to illustrate to us that we believers are engaged in warfare. It is spiritual and largely invisible, if you will, but it is warfare nonetheless. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics.
Some of his attacks are blatant. I have found out in my Christian life, the worst ones have been so subtle. The worst ones have come in the form of a friend. Isn't that what happened to David? How my familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me, says the scripture. Wasn't Jesus betrayed with a kiss? Doesn't the Bible say that concerning the Lord in His great second coming to the nation of Israel, the Bible says Israel will ask Him, where did you get these wounds in your hands and in your feet? And Jesus answers, or He will answer, and He'll say, I received these wounds in the house of my friends. If that can happen to the Christ, you and I often are attacked and wounded by these internal struggles, by those that are perceived to be friends. In fact, it could be a friend that the enemy finds an opening in the armor. These enemy encampments are at war with God and God's plans. And though we are saved and going to heaven, every Christian, all of us every day, must yield and submit to the plan of God. Christian, today, in all that you are going to do today, and what kind of a day are you going to have today? You can do whatever you want today. Think about it. You can go snow skiing today. Isn't this crazy? You can go snow skiing today, or you can go down to Newport to the beach where it's going to be 82 degrees today. It's almost as though we live on just this side of heaven. Until you wake up to the fact or understand or be reminded that these internal struggles make you long, not for this world, no matter what the temperature is going to be like, but heaven. I can't wait to get home. I'll get home when God says to come home. The only thing keeping me here is you and my grandkids and my family. But outside of that, if I could be convinced right now that they wouldn't miss me, now, I know you wouldn't miss me. We got a lineup of pastors heading your way that's going to blow your mind. So this place is sitting good. If I knew today that my family wouldn't miss me, I would just say, Lord, let's go. Heaven. But until then, we have struggles. And some of those struggles, briefly, I'll just touch on this. Some of them are self-inflicted. Some of them, listen, we commit treason against ourselves with internal struggles. We allow things in our lives and harbor these little things that are an offense to Christ. Again, it could be pride. My, if every Christian were like you, what a great world or church this would be. Or whatever it might. Oh, if more Christians gave like I gave, the world would... Listen, you deal with those thoughts immediately. You grab them and you pull them down. You attack them. You go after them. These strongholds wiggle in undetected like a false teacher or a false brother will come in undetected, set up camp, and then very, very ever so lightly and gently begin to disseminate or to leak danger until things are catastrophic. One of the things, are you sitting down? Worry. Did you know worry is a sin? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us worry? Think of it. You don't have to answer because America is the leading nation in the world to prescribe drugs regarding worry. America worries. America has a lot to worry about. And I don't mean the general condition of our nation or politics. Americans have a lot at their disposal. And we worry about it. I think we spend more time worrying about what we have than thanking God for what we have. How do you know? What makes you think so? Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I'll start there. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust are at, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there it is. Listen, do you worry? Do you have a tendency to worry? I'm going to tell you why you worry. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why we worry. Our treasure, if we worry, listen, if we're worrying about something, if we like it or not, if we'd like to admit it or not, we're worrying about a treasure. It could be a person, place, or thing. And we worry about it. And Jesus says, whatever you're concerned about, that's your treasure. And that's where your affections are going to be focused. But look at verse 25, Matthew 6. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Isn't that, oh, really? Do not worry about, notice, he didn't say, do not worry about your mortgage. He didn't say, do not worry about your car. Do not worry about your health. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. He said, well, it's easy for him to say. Do not worry about your life, he said. We are not authorized to worry about our lives. Listen, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, get this. Whenever you and I worry and fret and we get concerned about something, we are not trusting God. That's 100%. Period. There's no excuse. Where does this come from? Internal struggles. And God has given us the victory. Watch this. Don't worry about what you will eat. Now think about 2,000 years ago. That's all a house had to do was figure out what, as soon as you got done with breakfast, you had to start working to go out and kill lunch. And then you got to skin it and prepare. And then you got to, as soon as lunch is over, you got to go out and kill dinner. I mean, that's like Duck Dynasty every day. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink or about your body. What you're going to put on it. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Don't you agree with that, honestly? When it all comes down to it, aren't you more concerned about life than you are about your clothing? If given the chance to live without clothes or die with clothes, what would you pick? You'd live naked. Life is more important. Didn't Satan say regarding Job, skin for skin, a man will do anything to save his own life? There's truth in that statement. Life. Jesus said, it's not what you wear, it's not what you're going to eat, it's not what you're concerned about regarding your body. It's the very life itself. And notice how he speaks to us about this. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry? Listen to him. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. By the way, when you drive home today, look at the wildflowers growing along the highway right now. California poppies, they're already out. The lupins are about ready to bloom. They're purple. Jesus says, look at that. And if it's only here for a very brief few weeks, isn't your life more important than that? Will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things do the Gentiles or non-believers seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mark it. Matthew 6:33 is for all of us. If you're ever going to get a tattoo, like I said last week, somebody was offended. Now, you should never endorse tattoos. I don't have any. If you have one, that's fine. But if you're ever going to get one, there's the one to get. Go put Matthew 6:33 on there. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. And if you're going to have a tattoo, just put it right across your forehead. And then you might want to put it in reverse so when you look in the mirror, you can read it correctly. Therefore, do not worry, verse 34 says, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying, trust me now. Trust me now. Internal struggles, one of the greatest things is how we become accustomed to fear and worry. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, to cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5, 7. Internal struggles. Now, church, I told you 3 weeks ago that this was going to get real personal for me and I was going to share some things with you. And we never got to it. Remember what was supposed to happen 3 weeks ago? This message just turned out to be a marathon. But maybe, just maybe, is that point now for us today. So I don't want anyone running out of this place and gossiping and thinking on me. It's just us here this morning. So here's the deal. How important is this study that we're going through? All important to me. And I ask God even, listen, with the magnitude of what I believe I should communicate to you, I pray that the Lord keeps me from saying anything that would not be true or that would not make it anything other than what it really was. Did you hear that? That's a disclaimer against myself. Why? I wrote it down. You can't see my notes from here, but it says, my personal note, right here. And I wrote to myself, I want to make this really, 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 really clear. Why? Look at verse 4 of this chapter. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We looked at that last week, but mighty in God. And we so right where we're at now is pulling down strongholds. Verse 4 to verse 6, in my early Christianity, I'm talking about, church, listen, especially you men in here, and 27% of women, according to the statistics, need to listen to what I'm about to say. You see, that's a strange thing to say. Well, good, I hope I have your attention. I am often asked by men, how do you deal with pornography? I'm offended at the question, but I understand where they're coming from. Number one, I don't deal with pornography. By God's amazing grace, it's not in my life. It's not on my computer. It's not on my TV. It's not on my phone. It isn't in my world. Listen, hold your thought because it's not what you think. I have not, over 37 years as a Christian, found some secret to defeating what defeats most men in the world, certainly in America, and 27% of women in America, pornography. I've not found the secret of how to deal with it. God showed me something a long time ago based upon my past. Is this not like him? And I hope this is the most liberating thing that you could use for your life. I am mentioning this issue of pornography. If it's something in your life, just change the word, okay? In fact, I could also say pornography and fighting for me, violence, fighting. Not just guy fighting, you know, guy stuff. Okay, listen to me. You can sign up for a 10-step program all the days of your life. I listen, you can remember last week and the week before? You can join the holiness club 10 times over. And remember, because we're speaking in the spirit, remember about what Satan would sow among us to derail us, legalism, remember? Remember how we looked at a couple weeks ago about Paul saying, if those who think circumcision makes you righteous, then not only should they be circumcised if they think they're going to have righteousness, why don't they just cut the whole thing off? Look, I didn't make that up. The Bible says that. So you can be legalistic all you want. You can enroll in a monastery that has nothing but brick walls. And unless your will is conquered, the pictures will show on those brick walls of your mind. And in my life, one thing has been the absolute success to keep me free from that, and it's no strength of my own. None. Did you hear me, church? Nothing of my doing ever worked. It was this. in a voice so gentle. Jesus said to me so many years ago, "Jack, all I ask is that regarding this stronghold, that you love me more than it." And I said back to him, "Lord, I want to love you more than it. But you're going to have to help me with that love. I'm sorry to say, Jesus, can you give me more love for you?" Doesn't this sound like a low blow to our eternal God? Can't we just love him enough out of our own hearts? I couldn't. And he set me free. That's why when somebody comes up to me and says, "Well, you know, you should do this, and maybe you should do this." And when a man comes up to me and says, "How do you deal with pornography?" I tell them, "I don't deal with it. I've discovered over 37 years of having Jesus control in my life, it's this and this one thing alone." And you can almost feel them. They want to get out a pen and write down the 10 steps to how to beat this issue. Oh, here it is. Love God more and enjoy him more, that when the temptation comes, fill in the blank for you regarding your internal struggle, that when the temptation comes, I want to paraphrase or quote C.S. Lewis. Satan cannot stand to be mocked. His arrogant, proud heart cannot tolerate to be mocked. I say this. What sets me free is knowing that God's love is greater and eternal. What this world offers is not love, and it's temporal. And that why church, and by his grace may this always be true, that why church would I sacrifice 5 minutes? 5 minutes! For his power. For his pleasure. Gentlemen, and according to the statistics in America, 27% of you women, understand how much he loves you and understand the power he wants to exhibit in and through your life. And let that be your intoxicating power. Because when you understand that, you realize this: it's true. All he has asked me to do is surrender. It's all about him. It's all about his power. My life was very, very graphic before coming to Jesus. I never did drugs. I wasn't a drunk. I didn't do that stuff, but something else I did. And I lived for that. And when I became a Christian, I thought that the moment I accepted Christ, that night, I would never have that temptation again. What was a planned pleasure in an instant of preaching by Pastor Greg Laurie at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, I heard the gospel and I was challenged in the instant. And then there's a change of mind. You often hear me use the word metanoia. It's that word, Greek word for repent. My mind was changed in the instant. I know that's wrong. I can't pursue this anymore. And I've got to give that up, and I want to give it up, but God, I don't have the power. And I didn't understand. And for the first several years of my Christianity, I hated my life. I knew God was real. I knew the Bible was true, but the struggle was greater than me. And I hated it. And then I met my wife. I mean, I didn't meet her as my wife. It wasn't like a Rebecca Isaac thing where she shows up and she's already your wife. I met my wife. And some of you have accused me of being transparent. That's just the way I roll. And you can ask Lisa, because while we were just dating, this sweet, amazing Baptist girl from Anaheim, I'm a Calvary Chapelite at Costa Mesa. I'm a new Christian, or a Christian for about a year. Very serious about God. Serious about this battle. All I would have to do, gentlemen, are you listening to me? Men? Ladies, I'm going to confess something for every man that should have said yes a moment ago. I'm going to tell you that if at any moment as a Christian I relax my mind, if I relax my mind, everything comes back from years and years and years ago in Technicolor instantly. In the theater of this head, of this brain. And I thank God by his power there's a gate now that keeps that back. Watch this. I didn't know that in the early days of surrender to Jesus. And I got to tell you, I'll never forget it, neither will she. Lisa and I were coming back from spending the day at the beach. We were heading north on Beach Boulevard. I was stopped at a stoplight, and there was a girl walking across the crosswalk. She was designed by God, but I was saved by God. I forgot Lisa was in the seat next to me. I did what I normally did in such a moment. I grabbed these two fists and I began to punch myself in the temple and on the foreheads to get the pictures and to get the temptation out of my mind. I knew in that instant I would forever see that girl for the rest of my days. And I began to go like this. And she turned and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "You have no idea about my life." I broke down bawling. I pulled over. She prayed for me. Pulling down strongholds. The word pulling is to go after the enemy strongholds. And listen. Hit them so constantly that they begin to chip. See, you and I want to take a pill or go to a class or listen to a seminar or drop a CD in and we'll get the instant fixed. Church family, this is a battle to the end. It is life and death spiritually. And your understanding of God's love for you will transcend what the world offers you. I'm not saying we're sinless. We all mess up. But there are areas of victory that encourage you in other lesser areas. There came a day when I didn't have to punch my head anymore.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's a multi-part series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's one of a number of passages, really, that speak of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer finds himself on a daily basis. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, coming up, it's a special event, and here's our teacher now to tell us about it.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Jack, and I am so excited to not only announce to you guys that Harvest America is coming to the greater Dallas, Texas area, but it's going to be a great event because I got to tell you, I'm really biased about this. My good friend Greg Laurie is going to be bringing the message there at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. You know, if this thing packs out 100,000 seats, if it packs out, it's going to be the largest evangelistic outreach in American history. Listen, I hope that you not only want to be part of history, but that you bring an unsaved friend, coworker, a neighbor to this great event, Harvest America, right there in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium with Pastor Greg Laurie. And it's going to be a great time. Listen, Chris Tomlin's going to be bringing the music, Lecrae, Switchfoot, Mercy Me. And if you are nowhere in that area, then you can go to the web. You can go to the web at harvestamerica.com and you can sign up your church, your living room. You can host friends of your neighborhood. Have them come on over to your house and watch Harvest America from AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas. It all happens one day only on March 6th. And it's going to be a great event. So please make it a priority. Please pray for Pastor Greg and the great event, Harvest America, right there at AT&T Stadium, Arlington, Texas on March 6th. God bless you guys. Can't wait to see the fruit from that.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.